Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Hello, I'm Tom Bruchet from Grace Bible Church, pastor of Grace Bible Church, and it's really a privilege of mine to be with you again. It's been some time since I had the opportunity to share with you God's Word. We of Grace Bible Church, we share this ministry between Richard Jordan, who speaks quite often, Carl Tromboli, Jim Pittman, Jim Wilshire, our song leader, sung some songs for you one time, and others of us, Dominic Grappe, Dave Kasner, several of us have had the opportunity to come into your living room and share with you the Word of God. And we do that for this particular reason. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3 says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." We at Grace Bible Church want to do the will of God. We want to do what the things that God wants, and that verse tells us exactly what God wants. God wants, it's His will, that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's what we are desiring to do, and the only way we know how to do that is to reach out to the community and tell all men and women and children and everyone how they can be saved through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people aren't saved. You don't know what salvation is. You might even attend a church and they never use the word saved. Well, we want to tell you how to be saved. We want you to know that. But this Bible verse always also says, "and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And there's many of you who might be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you might believe the Word of God, but you haven't come to realize what the truth is about the Word of God and how you're actually supposed to understand it. And this is something we desire as well. So our program is not just to those of you who don't know Jesus Christ in a saving way, but it's also for those who know Jesus Christ and want to know more about God's truth. And we desire to share some precious truth with you that we believe is overlooked in many areas. One of the ways it's overlooked is people don't realize that the Bible is progressive in revelation. And there's a passage of Scripture that I share often, and I know I've shared it on this program before, and I'm going to share it again, but I want you to realize the impact of this passage of Scripture. Now, we're going to read in the book of Acts, chapter 15. And in the book of Acts, you're already at a time when Jesus Christ has already come to earth by virgin birth. He's already lived a life, a sinless life. And He was already crucified in Jerusalem, was buried, and rose again, and has already ascended back into heaven and left behind 12 apostles to carry on His ministry. Then in Acts, chapter 9, Jesus Christ, from heaven's glory, called the apostle Paul to be an apostle also, but not with the 12, to be an apostle unto the Gentiles. The 12 apostles were apostles to the nation of Israel concerning God's purpose, and they had a special purpose all through the Old Testament. But the apostle Paul, he goes out and launches a Gentile ministry. The 12 apostles are doing a ministry in Jerusalem. And when you come to Acts chapter 15, these two ministries clashed when we read this in the very first verse. "And certain men which came down from Judea," and that is, they came down from Judea, which Jerusalem is the head city in Judea, and when they came down, Jerusalem is of high altitude. They're actually going to the north to a city of Antioch, a Gentile city. But they came down from Jerusalem, and they're going to Antioch. And it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And so here all of a sudden, some people come from Jerusalem, Judea, from the 12 apostles' ministry. They go into a Gentile city of Antioch in the country of Syria, and they told these Gentile believers there that they're not saved. Now, there's nothing more important in your Bible than being saved. And that's a very important issue. If you're not saved, what that means is your sins aren't forgiven, that God is going to hold your sins against you, and you're going to spend an eternal damnation in a lake of fire. You're going to burn forever and ever at the judgment of God. He is the one who will appoint everyone a place in the lake of fire because we've offended Him, broken His laws, and we are condemned by Him. So when someone comes and says you're not saved, because you haven't finished the transaction, you haven't been circumcised, and therefore you're not saved, that's a big problem. But one which immediately, the next verse says, Acts 15:2, says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles," that's the 12 apostles, "and elders about this question." The Apostle Paul, when they walked into his city where God sent him to preach the gospel, and they told the people that were under his ministry that they weren't saved because they weren't circumcised, the Bible says Paul had no small dissension. Sometimes you don't like to argue Scripture. Sometimes you think, well, it's not right that we would have an argument about Scripture. But listen, if it's about your soul salvation, it's worth arguing about. Not arguing for the sake of putting each other down to try to figure out who's the best arguer, but for the sake of finding out the truth of whether you're saved or not, because there's nothing more important than that. And the Apostle Paul, he had, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, direct revelation from Jesus Christ about the gospel, the good news of Gentile salvation, which of course he preached to the Gentiles at Antioch. Now the Jews who were under the 12 apostles' ministry came there and said, "No, you don't got it yet. You're not even saved because you haven't been circumcised." And Paul wouldn't let them have a moment of time there. He had a strong disputation with them, an argument with them. And he does take their advice and go to Jerusalem, but not so much to go to Jerusalem to find out from Peter and them that that is true. But he actually went to Jerusalem to communicate to Peter and them the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to him back in Acts chapter 9. Because up to this point, Peter and them haven't got it yet. And I want you to see that. That's the important thing that you need to understand from your Bible, is to be progressive. For instance, when they said that you must be circumcised to be saved, the reason they said that is they're thinking, they're Jews, they're familiar with the Old Testament, and in their mind, they're thinking about God's program for the nation of Israel and for the world. God promised to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, that all the nations of the world, that's Gentiles, are going to be blessed through the nation of Israel. And then God gave a sign of circumcision to seal that promise that that would be true. And so everybody always knew that God's people was the nation of Israel, and salvation is through the nation of Israel. And the Old Testament taught that the way a Gentile received Israel's blessings is they would be circumcised, and by being circumcised they would become a proselyte Jew, and God would accept them just as much on an equal basis as a Jew because they were circumcised. In fact, when God gave that sign of circumcision to Abraham, here's what it says. It says, God says in Genesis chapter 17, verse 12, He gives them the sign of circumcision. It says, verse 11 says, "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." This is the sign of the covenant between us. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in his generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So when these Judaizers came from Jerusalem and said to the Gentiles, you must be circumcised. That's exactly what Genesis chapter 17, verse 13 says. And verse 14 says, if you don't get circumcised, you'll be cut off from God's people. Well, if you're not one of God's people, you don't have everlasting life. So they did know something from the Scripture. They knew about God's program to reach the world through the nation of Israel. And this is what they're preaching. And they must needs. And that's what they're saying. You're not saved yet just by believing on Christ. You have to be circumcised. You know, it'd be interesting sometime, and I'm glad I don't have to reverse back. But maybe you've never picked up a Bible before. And you never heard such ridiculous things. You have to be circumcised in order for God to accept you. Well, you realize how this Bible fits together. That if you just had a New Testament handed to you and you came to Acts 15 and you read that, you wouldn't have any idea what they're arguing about. But if you studied the Bible and started from Genesis to Revelation, you'd see how this Bible goes together and what these things mean. And you know, if you're studying the Bible for the first time, you're not going to know Genesis to Revelation. That's why you get into a good Bible-believing church, one that'll teach you the Bible, one who'll show you God's Word, and you spend time in the Bible, and you've got to be patient. This is a big book. God has said a lot of things. And in everything that He said, He didn't say about you or to you. But He wants you to know the things that He said. And so you have to be patient in your Bible study. But you realize why these Jews went to Antioch and said, you're not saved yet. You must be circumcised to be saved. Because that's what it said in Genesis 17. You know, Peter said something else too. In Acts chapter 2, Peter indicts the nation of Israel because when God sent them a Savior, a Messiah, who is not to the nation of Israel, a Messiah is a Christ. That's what the Greek word is, Christ. The Hebrew word is Messiah. And Jesus was their Christ. Jesus was their Messiah. And the nation of Israel failed to realize that. Now, a Messiah to Israel was going to be three things. He was going to be a prophet to them. He's going to declare God's last words to them. He was going to be a priest. That is, he was going to provide a way of having their sins atoned. And then he was going to be a king. He was going to establish a kingdom on this earth through the nation of Israel. And that kingdom was going to expand over all the earth, but it was going to begin with Israel. And so Jesus was their Christ. Now, Peter indicts them because when their Christ came to them, Jesus Christ, they crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. And what he points out to them in Acts is that the one who God sent to them, they crucified and slain. And when they realized they killed the one that they were supposed to receive as prophet, priest, and king, they wanted to know what to do. And Peter said to them this. First of all, they said in verse 37, now when they heard this, that they killed their Savior, but God raised him from the dead and put him at his right hand in order to judge them and come back and reign. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do now that we killed the Messiah that God gave us? Well, he raised him from the dead. He's going to send him back, and there's still an opportunity to have your sins forgiven. Peter says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter says, you want forgiven of your sins? Repent. Change your mind and believe on Jesus Christ and be baptized in water for the remission of sins, and God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is for them the gift of eternal life. Well, this is what Peter told them they had to do. But I want you to understand that the message of the cross, of what Jesus Christ was accomplishing on the cross, was not revealed yet. And the reason I know that is because when I come to 1 Corinthians, and I hear from the Apostle Paul what he sent out to do. One of the problems that was going on is people were being baptized, and they were being baptized by different ones, and so they were associating with those different ones. And Paul says in verse 14, I thank God I baptize none of you, but, and he names Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanas. And then he says, besides that, I know not whether I baptize any other. In verse 17, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now the Apostle Paul says, I'm glad I didn't water baptize any more than I did. Why? Number one, Christ didn't send me to baptize. But number two, what he sent me to do instead of baptize is preach the gospel. Now, the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, he goes on to explain. He says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That is, if he preached wisdom of words or did some other things that would detract from the work that was done at Calvary, at the cross where Jesus Christ died, then he would be destroying the very purpose that God sent him out to preach. And what he went out to preach is, he says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us it is the power of God. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what message he was given to deliver to them. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. Oops, I'm too far back. Chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. Now Paul says, you're saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, unless you really didn't believe the things I delivered to you. And what did he deliver? For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, Paul didn't say that you should be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The message that he was sent out to preach is that Christ died for our sins. And so that issue wouldn't get confused, he said he thanked God he didn't baptize any more than he did. And the reason it wasn't made known before the Apostle Paul, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The princes of this world are influenced and in the hands of Satan himself. The princes of this world are the ones who are controlling this world system, but they're being controlled and manipulated by Satan. And God held back some information. He did prophesy that Jesus Christ would die and that he had to die before Israel could have her glory. But what wasn't known in the death of Christ is how Jesus Christ was going to the cross to die for all the sins of all the world and make a complete payment through his death, burial, and resurrection so that all of mankind can be forgiven of their sins and have eternal life. Had God made that information known, Satan would have never manipulated the people to kill Jesus Christ. But God just allowed Satan to think he was killing the Savior of the world, or the King of the nation of Israel, the Messiah of Israel. And in killing Jesus Christ, he was actually helping God provide a way of salvation for the world. So God didn't reveal it before the cross, but afterwards, from the resurrected glory, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals to the Apostle Paul the preaching of the cross, which now is advanced information that he's taken out to the Gentiles, how salvation is not through circumcision, salvation is not through water baptism, but what Paul says in Acts chapter 16, when he's actually beaten for preaching his gospel, thrown in prison, and while he's in prison, after being beaten, he and Silas are singing praises to God. The jailer just says, well, there's something unusual about this guy. But all of a sudden, there's an earthquake, and the prison doors are open, as if God is saying, let my man free so he can go out and preach his message to the world. The jailer realized this man is a man of God. And he came in and he fell down before the Apostle Paul and he said to him, Sirs, Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? In Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul answered and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The reason you can just now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not be circumcised, not be baptized, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, is because Jesus Christ made a full, complete payment of sin. He made a payment of sin by which now God is going to receive us, not by a work that we do in the flesh, not by a cleansing, a ceremonial washing, but we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's a full, complete payment of sin. And now we're asked simply to believe that Jesus Christ not only is the Christ, is the Son of God, but believe that when he died on the cross, that is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And you know, that's the first time that's revealed to Peter and them is Acts 15. Now I want you to see that. Paul goes to the council at Jerusalem. And he gets there, and it says in verse 5, "Then arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed," that is, they believed Jesus was their Messiah, but "they were saying that it was needful to circumcise them," that is, the Gentiles, "and commanded them to keep the law of Moses." They're saying they're not saved unless they get circumcised and keep the law. They can't just be saved on the basis of faith. It says, "And the apostles and elders," Peter and them, Peter and James would be an elder, it says, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing," this is an important decision. Peter and them don't understand this. "But after there's been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth," Peter says, "by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts," not looking at the flesh, not looking at activity, "but God that knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." Now, you know, the Apostle Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9 and was given a message that he was going to go carry out to the Gentiles. But in Acts chapter 10, God did something interesting to Peter that Peter is referring to here in Acts 15. He's saying, you know what this, what the Apostle Paul is saying, this makes sense. Because God revealed to me something in Acts chapter 10. Peter went to a Gentile in Acts chapter 10. And he went to a Gentile who was not circumcised. And he went to give him words whereby he must be saved. He wasn't a proselyte Jew. He was just a Gentile who feared God and wanted to know how to be saved. And Peter went to that Gentile, and he didn't know what to say. In fact, Peter didn't want to go until God gave him a vision three times, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, "Go and don't doubt." So Peter reluctantly goes to a Gentile. He wasn't ready to go to a Gentile. Israel hadn't received her kingdom. There's nothing to invite the Gentiles to be a part of because Israel hadn't been blessed yet. But yet God tells Peter to go. So he goes, and he begins to tell him there at Cornelius and those Gentiles that were with him the things that are reported in Jerusalem, how their Messiah came and how Israel killed him and how God raised him from the dead. But he said this about Christ, and he said in chapter 10, verse 43, it says to him, concerning Christ, Jesus Christ, "gave all the prophets witness that that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." And the next two verses tell us that when the Holy Ghost fell on them, there was miraculous demonstration of the presence of God's Holy Spirit by them speaking in tongues. That's how Peter knew the Holy Ghost fell on them. But you notice what happened there? Peter just said that all the prophets have told us it's that through the name of Jesus Christ there'd be remission of sins and all who believe would be forgiven of their sins. But Peter wasn't done talking. He would have told them what you needed to do like he did to the Jews, that they had to repent and be baptized. But before Peter could say any more, boom, the Holy Ghost fell on these men. Why? They just simply believed what Peter said, that through Jesus Christ who died and rose again, there would be remission of sins. And then Peter begins to ask, what do we do about baptism? And they went ahead and baptized them because they couldn't figure out what to do because these Gentiles were saved before baptism, apart from water baptism. But now in Acts 15, Peter says, aha, I'm beginning to understand what God was trying to reveal to me in Acts chapter 10. This message that Paul is going out and preaching about the cross of Christ as being such a complete payment of sin that all a person must do today is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved is true because that's exactly what happened to the Gentile that I preached to. So Peter reminds him of that. But Peter says some other things. He says in verse 9 of Acts 15, "And put no difference between us and them," that is the Jew and the Gentile, "purifying their hearts by faith." Today, God's not dealing with a Jew above a Gentile. He's dealing with them equally and purifying our hearts on the basis of faith. It says in verse 10, not on the basis of circumcision, not on the basis of water baptism, but on the basis of faith. But Peter goes on to say, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither we nor our fathers are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Peter says not only is that true of the Gentiles, that they are saved without circumcision, without baptism, they're saved on the basis of faith, but Peter says, I've come to a conclusion. I understand that this message about the cross, that's our message too. That's how we're going to be saved. It's not by works that we do. It's not by ceremonies that we perform. It's by the work that Jesus Christ did. And His blood that was shed at Calvary is a complete payment for sin. And God would receive me because of Jesus Christ. And you know, when you come to Peter's epistles, you have some of the most marvelous gospel verses there are in 1 Peter. And the reason why, it's from this point, Acts 15 on, not before. Peter now has an understanding of the gospel that he got from the Apostle Paul. And Peter writes and says things like this, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers." You're not saved by the tradition you were raised with. You're not saved by the money that you pay, by the silver or the gold. But what do you say by? "But by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So Peter understands, look, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us, that pays for sin. It's nothing else than that. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, speaking about Christ, he says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Peter looks at the cross of Christ and realizes there Jesus Christ all by himself bore our sins and made a complete payment for our sins, that being dead to sin, we should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we're healed. Healed of the sickness of our soul, of the sin of our soul, Peter says that we're saved. And so he goes on to talk about these things. He says in chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ hath also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust." He paid for our sins, "that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit." What Peter would tell you to do now is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, because that's the latest word from God.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.